please, for our second reading to Ezekiel chapter 2. Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me even unto this very day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee. And thou dost dwell among scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. And when I looked, behold, an hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without. And there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, quite a difference from chapter 1. Chapter 1 has all of those prophetic symbols and those strange goings on, and the wheels within the wheels, and the firmament, and the amber, and the fire, and the thunder, and the loud noise, and all of that. This, very simple, very straightforward. And yet we must recall chapter 1 to make sense of it, right? Who is the voice that we hear, or whose voice is it that Ezekiel hears in chapter 2, verse 1, when he says, And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. It's very important that we get this straight, because it's not only here in Ezekiel 1, it is replete throughout the Scriptures. Now there are maybe one or two brief exceptions to this, but for the most part, this is what we see. Who is speaking here? Well, it is the Lord speaking through the firmament. We don't see any one of those fearsome angels, those cherubim, those four-faced and wheeled and winged creatures that are moving and flitting about and doing all of this motion and, you know, movement and all of that. Instead, we see the one who is seated on the throne. I don't know if you caught that, but in the first chapter, although I was getting short on time, I didn't bring this out, but here are the messengers that are doing God's work, and they're moving, active, and God, Christ, is sitting on the throne. He is in complete control. And so the one who sits on the throne speaks, and he speaks to Ezekiel. And he says to him, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. Son of Man. Very interesting title. It is a prophetic title. And it is that title that is geared toward revelation. Not the book of Revelation, but one who will stand before God and hear God's words and then prophetically speak God's words. It is God's favorite title of Ezekiel. Over and again, he calls him Son of Man. Our Lord Jesus Christ took that title to himself, not only as a prophetic title, but a prophetico-divine title. And we'll see this again, even as we continue through the prophets. We'll see that especially in Daniel. All right, so the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. The picture that Ezekiel is painting here is that in the midst of this prophetic vision, he has been knocked back upon his hindquarters. But when the Lord speaks to him and says, stand upon thy feet, up he comes. The Spirit entered into him. And this speaks, of course, of the weakness of man to receive the revelation of God, except that God should strengthen him, causing him to stand, putting his Spirit upon him, so that Ezekiel is fitted to hear the prophetic word, and then also fitted to speak it. All right, so then in verse 3, he receives his commission. He said unto me, Son of Man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation. Notice that there is a prophetic call, that Ezekiel is not running without being sent, that he didn't make it up of himself, that there is a call and a sending, a commission, if you will, or what we used to call a while back, a mission, that there is indeed a mission that he is given. He's not simply going at his own recognizance. He is sent to do something particular. He is sent to speak to the nation of Israel. And oh, what a withering critique the Lord offers of the nation of Israel at this point in their history. Notice he says, they are a rebellious nation. They have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me. And then notice what he says, even unto this day. Even unto this day. Here they are in Babylonia, in captivity, and they are still rebelling. They are still in rebellion against God. But not only has it been them, but they've gotten it honestly, because it is they and their fathers who have rebelled even to this very day. Verse 4 continues the description. They are impudent. The Hebrew word there means that they have hard faces. Oh, I knew a guy like that once. A very hard face. No, not like that. Not that kind of a hard face. A hard face meaning stubborn, adamant. Jesus, at one point in his earthly ministry, had set his face like flint. Remember that? Flint, a very hard substance. That means he was determined to a particular course. So are the children of Israel. It's just this is the wrong course. They're hard of face, and notice they are stiff-hearted as well. Not only are they hard of face, they're hard of heart. They have rebelled inwardly and outwardly against the Lord. But notice, the Lord says, I do send thee unto them. And thou shalt say unto them, are you ready? Thus saith the Lord God. That's great, isn't it? What is it that Ezekiel is to speak to the children of Israel? His own words? No. No, he is to speak the word of God to them. That which he hears from God, that is what he is supposed to speak to them. And so the Lord, even though the children of Israel are a rebellious house, even though they are stiff-necked, hard-hearted, hard-faced, the Lord continues mercifully to to speak to them, raising up a prophet and enduing him with his spirit and granting him a commission to speak to that rebellious house. Brothers and sisters, aren't you glad that the Lord continues to speak to us even in our rebellion? Even when we are slow to hear, even when our own ideas trump what God tells us, the Lord patiently and kindly continues his speech to us. Now notice in verse 5, the outcome of the preaching doesn't affect the preaching. Here's what you'll say to them, thus saith the Lord God, whether they hear or whether they don't. Ezekiel is given a commission, and the outcome of that is up to the Lord. The commission of that mission is up to Ezekiel. Continue to obey, and it doesn't matter what they're doing. You continue to do what I told you to do. Oh Lord, they've stopped listening, so I stop preaching. Oh no. Oh no, that cannot be the tactic that Ezekiel takes up. And there is one sure outcome. They may hear or they may not hear, but there is one sure outcome, the Lord says. They will know that a prophet has been among them. It is the Lord's witness to them. All right, so then the second in verse 6, the second section, particular words to Ezekiel, he says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of their words. Though they hedge you about with briars and thorns, though it seems like you're among scorpions, fearing for your life at every turn, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. You've heard me pray this, and it's an old saying among ministers, among faithful preachers of God's word, that a preacher faithfully should preach, not fearing the face of man. This is one of those passages where we get that concept, that God's word ought to go forth in its purity, regardless of the recipients and their mindset toward the pure preaching of God's word. Now, as recipients of the preaching, we all want to facilitate that, don't we? I mean, that's what we ought to want. We ought to want to facilitate the preaching so that the preacher is encouraged in his work, because that would be profitable, more profitable spiritually for us than if he were pinched in his work and must, you know, get himself up into the pulpit every time to preach unto a rebellious people that are gnashing their teeth on him as he preaches. It's always better and encouraging, and there's that old joke about the preacher that preached himself to death because the congregation kept amening him on and so on. But we do want to facilitate the preaching. But notice that the preacher is to preach regardless. Now notice verse 7, very important, thou shalt speak my words, plural, unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. Doesn't matter if they hear. It doesn't matter if they forbear as far as your preaching is concerned. You preach my words to them. Of course, here we have, once again, the doctrine of inspiration. Whose words? God's words. The scriptures are what? What did we read in 2 Timothy 3:16 earlier today? God-breathed. They are the very words of God. All right, so then, verse 8, Son of man, hear what I say unto thee, and be not rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that which I give thee. Now, this is important. In other words, God is not going to grade on the curve here. That's what he's telling Ezekiel. It doesn't matter what they're doing, and I know the task that I've given to you is much more difficult than what I've given to them. What you must do is preach, what they must do is hear, but it doesn't matter whether they hear or whether they forbear. Don't be like them, rebellious. Obey me, and obey in preaching. Obey in manifesting proclaiming my word to them. It doesn't matter if what I've asked them to do is so much easier than what I've asked you to do. I've just asked them to hear. You, I've asked to preach. Obedience for you, Ezekiel, then, means preaching, and rebellion means forbearing. Don't be like them, a rebellious house. All right, so then, eat that which I give thee. In other words, now we already know this because we've read the book of Revelation, but there's going to be a roll that is given to Ezekiel. It's not a cinnamon roll. It's a roll of a writing that is written on both sides and rolled up. And in this visionary estate, he is going to be given that roll and he's going to eat it. And the eating of that roll is demonstrative of him receiving the words of God and then issuing forth those words to God's people. So chapter 2 then, well, chapter 1 was what? This overarching look at the providence and judgment of God. And chapter 2 then is the commission of Ezekiel to go and to speak the words of God to God's people as they are held captive by the river Kebar. Thus ends the reading of Ezekiel chapter 2. Let's stand.